real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We start hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show with El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Our History Moment today is about an educated Chinese man in El Paso decades ago.
Chinese diplomat tutors greenhorn reporter on English. Dr. Xu Chunan met with the editor of the El Paso Herald Post during a short stopover in El Paso on his way west from Washington, D.C. Dr. Nan had been part of Imperial Chinese Special Ambassador Ang Xiaoyi's and Prince Chiang Fu's entourage, who met with and thanked President Teddy Roosevelt for the remission of the Boxer indemnity. Inside the Pullman car, Dr. Nan, clad in silk shoes and pantlets, brocade jacket, and black button hat, tells the editor of an amusing story of an encounter with a young greenhorn reporter just east of El Paso who approached Dr. Nan speaking in laundryman English. "How do, doctor," said the reporter. "Vote for you ketchum Washington. You likey the sea country? You thinky China better?" "Young man," replied the doctor, "I'm sorry you cannot speak your language any better than you do. Perhaps it would be easier for you to interview me in French or German or Italian. I speak these languages quite fluently and could even manage to make you understand if you would rather speak in Latin. All the young men in my entourage are educated. They are the material from which the coming viceroys and generals and admirals will be selected. Even my porters are educated." At that point, the young reporter was left speechless and left Dr. Nan's company without speaking another word. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Ah, yes, we went online and there was Bernie standing there, of all people.
Bernie is standing around doing nothing. But
you got that Chinese thing going there and you got the History Alliance, or what else?
Well, you know, if you want to get involved in history, we're always telling you we could use extra help out there getting active. And, you know, you can call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920.
Call it now, see what happens.
Get it active, you know. And, you know, this is what I love about history. I was online looking. That's one reason it took me so long to find a good history moment this week. Was I read the newspapers.com, and that's where I found all this wonderful history, is reading the old newspapers. And another great place I like to look for history on, and that is on Remember in El Paso When, and that's being run by that mastermind Barbara Given Bainey.
On Facebook, right?
Yes, on Facebook. And, you know, she's got her cohorts out there, and I think his name is, I'm looking for
Jim Carlton.
Jim Carlton, yes, if you're putting him up. And those wonderful people just keep up all the great history and pictures and stories. It's wonderful, the
stuff
they
do. Keep them coming.
Keep them coming out there.
All right. Shall we turn our page now to the Coliseum?
Yes, I think so.
The El Paso County Coliseum. Not just any Coliseum. It's the El Paso County
Coliseum.
The Coliseum. And we got a whole list of people in here to talk about this stuff. We have the president and CEO of the El Paso Sports Commission, Brian Kennedy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good, thank you, sir. Welcome here. And you brought your sidekick with you, Margaret Gallardo. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a microphone in case you need to use it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And she will.
And the instigator of the History of the Hour, Bernard Sargent. Good morning, Bernie.
Hello.
Welcome here, dude. Hey, you don't look wet. You've been out to the swimming pool already this morning?
The natatorium.
What does that mean?
That's a Latin word for indoor swimming pool.
You like that? Natatorium.
Yes, we can't say indoor swimming pool.
And he's still got his Speedos on, which is really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. They don't fit much anymore.
Oh, dear. We don't want to know why.
Quite an event. They literally had probably close to 1,000 people out there for this.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was great.
A lot of publicity going
very well.
That.
Yeah, very well attended. Very nice facility. Your tax dollars at work. It was very nice.
It's good to see that occur.
Yes, it was. It was nice to see it done.
So you were not sure you were going to get here, so you thought, well, let's book some additional subject. And this turned out to be the main subject for this hour.
It did.
It's the Coliseum of El Paso.
It is, yeah. It's a great venue, and it's something that's been around for, well, we'll let them talk about it. But I happened to run into young Brian Kennedy.
Young Brian.
No relation to the Kennedys of
Chappaquiddick.
No, I'm safe driving across the bridge.
Yeah. He hasn't killed any women lately.
We do have canals here, too.
Or not able to.
Margaret, don't go across the bridge with this guy.
No.
They rode in separate cars. We ran into them, not literally, but last week after the parade in the Northeast. And he mentioned that it was they were celebrating a big anniversary.
Well, let's talk about this, Brian. Yeah. It's 75 years. I mean,
75 years old.
What was it? What was the first act that went in there?
The opening act was actually dinner, and then the rodeo.
The rodeo, because it was kind of built for a rodeo, wasn't it?
It was originally the Exposition Coliseum, because and it was built for a rodeo. You still can see over top of our doors. We have like implants into the wall of sheep head and a bull and a cows and things like that are still there.
They were implants, like they ran into the wall.
Yes, they did. Yeah. They did. It's
they
like
weren't
a
fast
faceplant,
enough.
You know,
they weren't fast enough.
They were coming out the other side.
But then also the back end of the Coliseum has got stockyards and all kinds. Is that all your deal?
Yeah, we run everything that's on the property. There we have we actually oversee the ice rink now, the pavilion, which also has acts, and a old judging arena that we've turned into the Roller Girls home.
So you've got four venues?
There's four venues on the property right now.
And the rodeo still is there every year.
Well, Tough Hedeman is there. The rodeo has not been around for about 2 years, but they are coming back. We're in negotiations right now.
Oh,
but
good.
I will say that Tough Hedeman comes every February.
Which is a rodeo, right?
Which is a rodeo. It's bull riding. Local kid, done well,
Coronado grad.
Yeah, grad. Mm-hmm. Who considers this his home base.
Yay.
So we get to see him every year.
If we ask the audience to raise their hand, and don't do it if you're driving, but everybody would raise their hand, have you been to the Coliseum at some point in your life?
It's really
a mainstay.
I tell people, if you've been in El Paso for a while, you have a Coliseum story.
Yeah.
And what I love, it's like what my favorite thing to do is it usually is tied around an emotion, not just a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll say, like my wife will tell you, she saw Elvis there twice.
Ooh.
So she's like, "Oh, I saw Elvis there," and then there's a story about the concert.
Now, was that after he died?
Twice.
After he died.
When I book somebody, if I've got a contract, they're showing up. There's no death clause.
We have to dig him up. We're going to bring him back.
Get on stage, boy.
I said, you call the colonel, he shows. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we talked about Johnny Cash performing there, and we were like, "Is that the time he got busted for pot?" There he is.
Oh, you've got a picture of him.
I have to tell you, we have on the walls of the Coliseum now, inside the hallways, we have a bunch of pictures from the artists that were there in the 75 years, and I'd like to thank Margaret for getting that done. And one of my favorites is the Johnny Cash picture, because it's an obviously very young Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
And a black and white back in the dressing room, leaning on his guitar, and I go, I wonder what was in that guitar.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was Cash and Carry.
It was smoking.
Yeah, it was. But it was Cash and Carry. But he's one of my favorite pictures. I mean, when you look at it, it was partially built by Italian prisoners of war that were housed there on the property.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and we
the doors go whop when they close.
Yes.
No, Bernie, they don't.
Don't.
Don't go there.
Don't.
We have pictures of them having meals there. That was what the back Quonset huts were for.
Oh, my.
They're actually housing prisoners of war temporarily. Mm-hmm. And
what was on that property before? Because that was like a bend in the river.
It was a landfill.
Yeah.
And so whenever we dig through, we pull up all the little bottles and some of the stuff from the old landfill.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes construction exciting. But
let's put a basement in. No, let's
tell
don't.
The archaeologists.
Yeah, no, we don't want to put a floor below the floor.
No.
But it's been a great 75 years, and we're the oldest Southwest building that is still functioning and still active in the entertainment industry. And, it's a great building. I love the building.
Well, weren't you saying, you were talking the other day, we were talking about the uniqueness of the Coliseum and its entertainment venue that so many groups have come up going through there, like before they get to a UTEP venue, a huge Coliseum, mm-hmm. like the Jackson 5 and the Ozzy Osbournes. They go through these kind of venues before they get to the big.
We see them on the way up and we see them on the way down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when they need lesser seating area. We really, it's every, all entertainment venues have a lane that they fit in. You know, mm-hmm. there's theaters and then there's amphitheaters and there's small arenas. And then there's larger arenas, and then you go onto the stadiums. So it's almost like a feeder building. When Ariana Grande came to town, I mean, she was as hot an artist as there was in the world. She could have gone anywhere she wanted. She picked the Coliseum specifically because she said, I kind of feel this is a heritage building. It was the end of her tour. And she said, and you got to play the Coliseum. You know, so she got there, much to our surprise, early in the day, without letting us know she was coming, so there was a little security scramble. But she just showed up because she wanted to see the building. She wanted to walk around. And when she got in there, she said every seat is within 200 feet of where she was going to stand.
Yeah.
And it kind of blew her away because she's used to playing much larger venues.
Where you can't see your audience.
Right. You can't see the audience much. You know, it's pretty much, okay, I see the first row and that's it. And she had the lights turned up a little bit so she could see all the way into the corners. But, people see it as a rite of passage, you
and
know.
Fans love that. I mean, where know that actually somebody's looking at them and can really see them.
Well, how many does a seat?
Well, we have 5,200 hard seats on the side. When we seat the floor, we can get up to close to 7,000. Really, above 6,500 is difficult. But we're in that 5,000 to 7,000 maxed arena. We can cut it down as low as 2,500 to 3,000. But we're the filler from between the 2,500-seat theaters and the 10,000-plus stadium or arenas. So we're kind of – that's what our lane is.
If I had to say one thing that reminds me of the Coliseum, it would be cotton candy.
Oh.
You still do a lot of cotton candy when you can?
We just signed with a circus, and one of the deals with the circus was they got to bring in their cotton candy machines.
Ah, okay.
So
that's a big deal.
Barbara Gimbaney just made a point, too. She said that the Sun Bowl coronation was held there.
Yeah, it used to be in there. And not many people remember that the year after UTEP won the national championship, their home base was the Coliseum. In 67, they played in the Coliseum.
We've got a bigger audience.
We've got some pictures of Haskins against Seattle with, strangely enough, getting thrown out of the game. How unusual.
Really?
How unusual.
He knew how to do that. There's so many things that have gone on there. Name a bunch of them. I mean, you have the Globetrotters talking about basketball.
Oh,
we had
Harlem
Globetrotters. I'll tell you, we go all the way back to Roy Orbison, Johnny Cash. Of course, Selena was through there. Ozzy Osbourne, Ariana Grande. We have Ice Capades.
Jackson 5.
Jackson 5.
ZZ Top, I saw there.
ZZ Top, which held the record for, we put 8,000 people in a building that was only supposed to hold 6,500.
I was deaf for weeks.
I said, well, they just greased up the doors and kept pushing.
Yeah. The Japanese subways just push them in there.
And so we go all the way back to that time when things were starting. Ike and Tina Turner were there right before Proud Mary was released.
Oh, my gosh.
And what was it, the Human Time Bomb? Or
the Human Bombshell.
The Human Bombshell was coming, and it was the Ike and Tina Turner review.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
And then you go all the way forward to just recently, we had Green Day in there, and everybody was like, what was Green Day doing there? And what they didn't know was for 3 days before that, Green Day was rehearsing at the Coliseum.
Oh.
Because they said, we like the size, we like the ability to rehearse. So they were there for 3 days rehearsing. And then they said, we'll do a show. And everybody was like, well, why are you? You know, you'd look at these arenas, these 15, 20,000 seat arenas, but they started the tour at the Coliseum. And they said, because we are truly famous in America for the exuberance of our crowds, they wanted to start the tour at the Coliseum.
Yeah. It's getting wound up in there pretty good. Circuses is what I remember a lot because they actually had three rings in there. And then I remember a circus, there was so much stuff that they had a sort of like a midway going out the door, and all the fat ladies and all those people were they're all over the place. And they even pitched a tent outside. They had so much circus at one point.
We have done that on occasion when the act says we need more square footage, a little bit more, but we want to use this building. We a lot of times will put concessions in some of the sideshows outside the building.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff here. All right, we got Brian Kennedy in here, Margaret Gallardo, Bernie Sargent. We're talking the history of the El Paso County Coliseum, and we're going to take a break here and do some trivial.
Yes, we will.
Trivial.
Are
you ready for that? Can you handle it? And you got to be our panel of judges here. You got some questions that are cooked up. Actually, I think we've talked about most of this, haven't we?
We have. I lost my sheet.
Something about roping skills, huh?
I was on Facebook here. So.
But this is a trivia for prizes, right?
Yes, it is. For $20 and gift certificates to Pepe's, New Mexican Food, and Canyoteo.
We're going to Pepe's today if anybody cares. We already warned Pepe, I think.
Yes, we won't be there.
If you can join us, come on out to Pepe's. Yes,
we can't go this time, but we got to perform tonight.
There's rolled tacos, and we're not going.
That's the special.
No, because we got to perform today, don't we?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight? Oh, I guess we're
Bernie
going.
Bernie wants rolled tacos.
I guess we're going tonight.
So, Bernie and your hat.
Good choice, Bernie.
Yes.
Bernie and your hat, you're both going to make it out there.
The veterans are going to have to wait then. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
Questions.
The first question is, what famous country western music star or famous pop singing brother group or group of brothers performed at the County Coliseum?
You just want the name of who they were?
Yeah, you can name either one of those.
You don't want to know about their arrests necessarily in wars or any of that stuff.
Or
right?
the brothers and how many of them there were.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
And what other annual event is held at the Coliseum that features Roping skills.
Oh, I know this one. Yeah. It has something to do with pigs, I think.
No.
Well,
it could.
It could
if the pigs got loose.
It's a different roping.
I know. Okay.
All right, but that's what you have to answer.
That's right.
How do you do that?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Iron horses. That's what the Indians called the trains that traveled throughout the Old West. But between those iron horses and the iron horses that our hogs ride today, there was a different form of transportation known as the stagecoach. And Stagecoach just happens to be the name of one of the greatest Western films of all time. The final destination for the stagecoach in the movie was the town of Lordsburg. And it turns out the movie launched one of America's most iconic acting careers. See if you can recognize this voice.
I gotta go to Lordsburg. Why don't you go to my ranch and wait for me?
Of course, that's John Wayne in his breakthrough role as the Ringo Kid, making his way to the same place we're traveling this weekend. The Lordsburg Loop we're driving is part of a rite of passage as old and legendary as the West itself. As always, the adventure starts at Barnett Harley Davidson, or when you click on BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride. Or in the words of the Duke,
slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go! We're burning daylight!
Hi, Tom Baudet with a word on fusion cuisine, where you mix one country's food with another one. I always call that stew, but whatever gets you to dessert. But whether you like a French vichyssoise with Thai chili oil, or you're more into the fusion of American burger and French fry, you'll save more for that meal at Motel 6. It's an intriguing mix of clean, comfortable, and low prices, or as we fusionistas call it, clicolo. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation, Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
It's happening Sunday, April 8th at Cohen Stadium, the only race in El Paso that celebrates and honors all the colors of cancer. Join the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation at the second annual Run Together 5K Run Walk and honor the people in your life who've been affected by cancer. You can register online and find your cancer ribbon color at rgcf.org. All the proceeds from this event stay in El Paso to help El Pasoans with, through, and beyond the cancer journey.
Save our school. After 60 years, Our Lady of the Valley Catholic School may close its doors. Help raise funds for Our Lady of the Valley by attending a benefit and concert this Saturday, April 14th, with Christine Ostase, beginning at 4 p.m. For tickets, call 240-3510.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got people on hold here. One number is open, 544-5876. Got to tell you about what's coming up. Mission Trail next weekend on the radio show. They're going to be in here talking about the first Thanksgiving. They're putting it in Socorro this year. And that's a good thing to do because they have a full program of history and entertainment. Also, the second hour, San Elizario Genealogy Historical Society, they've got a three-day conference coming up, their 24th annual. April 21, the El Paso story of World War II Company E. They're from South El Paso. The author will be here. They're turning that thing into a movie. That is going to be interesting. May is Preservation Month on the 28th of April. We'll tell you what's coming up in May. Many groups holding events. May 5th, a good Cinco de Mayo story would be the Lincoln County War.
Yeah.
Which is what we're doing. Lincoln County War on May the 5th. And that's all about the New Mexico Territory, why Billy the Kid became famous. May the 12th, more preservation events. And we may end up having a candidate come on that show that day. We'll see how that works out. May 19th, crest collection at the El Paso Museum of Art. What do you got?
Well, we've got to go out and celebrate the mountains with all this wonderful weather. Preserving the Franklin Mountains, it's a beginner's hike. That's going to be Saturday, April 21st from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And Judy Ackerman will be leading this 2.5-mile hike. And she's going to be talking about the reason you should be preserving our wonderful mountains and how important it is for our people. And you can meet at the corner of Mountain View and Zircon. And call Judy at 755-7371 for more information. They're also going to have a cacti, lizards, and things that creep in the night tour. And that's going to be Saturday, April 21st from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And Dr. Paul Hyder is going to be leading that one. And he's going to be talking about the different things you'll find in the dark out there. Give him a call at 915-244-4444. Ooh, I got short.
That's the things you find in the night. Does it include stepping on Legos?
Yeah, I cut out scorpions, all kinds of fun things.
But
and I cut
on
off
Legos
on his phone number. But I'll give you the website to go to where you can get his information. But it'll be a great thing to take the kids out there on to see the wonderful things that are crawling in the night. And also Scenic Sundays. That's going to be a great walking tour that you're going to have out there.
A biggie.
That's going to be Sunday, April 29th, where they close off Scenic Drive from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. They're going to have people talking about histories and legends of El Paso and Ciudad Juarez. And you'll have experts from Southwest University, UTEP, EPISD, and the El Paso History Radio Show.
I heard about them.
Yeah, it's going to be you and the Texas
Where
Trove Society.
Where is the Lost Padre Mine?
Yeah, I know. It's right up there. No, it's not.
Are you walking up there too, Jackson?
I'm gonna roll up there.
He's the man that's going to be up there, the legend.
A legend of my own mind.
And Dr. Kappas is the one that's coordinating this. So this is going to be a great event. Show up out there at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday, April 29th. And if you want all this information, you can go to Celebrate Our Mountains, Celebration of Our Mountains. You can Google that or go to CELEBMTNS.org. That's the events page.
Are you now ready for
callers?
I'm
now ready.
There's all kinds of callers over here. We've got, what's that question again?
The question was, what famous country western music star or famous pop singing group of brothers performed at the County Coliseum? And the second question was, what other annual event is held at the Coliseum that features roping skills?
That's only two questions. We have three callers. So we're going to take a third call, and we'll give them a prize if they have a better question than what we had.
Okay.
Fair enough. Going with Brad here. Brad, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How are you guys doing today?
Fine, Brad. Which question did you want to attempt?
The country question.
Okay.
It was Johnny Cash, and he wasn't busted for pot. He was busted for Black Beauty's pills.
Ooh.
How do we know that?
Read his biography.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
you weren't involved.
Sure, okay.
You weren't necessarily involved in that event, right?
No.
No, the answer is no.
Born then.
That's an even better excuse. Okay, well, what would you like? Would you like the $20 in food certificates to Pepe's, or would you like an El Paso Gold DVD?
I'm going to pass on the prize because I live in Cruces and I have to drive down. Plus, I won within 90 days, and the lady at the radio station when I picked it up last time said I can't win for 90 days. So I'm cool.
She'll get you.
Just talking to you guys. But can I tell you some stories about the Coliseum real quick?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, growing up in Deming, we used to take a bus over to concerts all the time. And I saw BTO there, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, my gosh.
Black Sabbath, when Ozzy Osbourne was like 25. And I saw Styx before they were famous. And I went to a Seals and Crofts concert, and nobody showed up. There was like 100 people there.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so we all sat in the front because the floor didn't have seats back then. I think they called it festivals. You could stand, And we were sitting on the floor, and apparently they had hockey going on. There was ice on the floor with plywood over it, so we were freezing our butts off, literally.
It's a weird thing to do. Well, fair enough. We're not going to give you a prize in that case. How do you think?
Hey, one more quick story. I saw BTO there twice in 1 year. And later I met Randy Bachman in Washington State. I asked him, why'd you guys always come to El Paso? And he said, well, we had a friend with a go-kart track, and after the show he would close down his track and let us drive all night.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good reason.
You know, actually, Johnny Cash was there twice in 56. He was August 12th and September 26th. Sold out the first show, so he said he was going to try it again. Came back 6 weeks later, sold out another one.
It works. All right, Brad, thanks for calling, dude.
Yeah, I'm loving the show. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for listening,
you take
Brad.
It easy. Thanks a whole lot. All right, let's see who Mark dropped off. We got James. Morning, James. How's it going?
Good morning. I'm great. How about yourself?
Surviving nicely.
Fine. Okay, which question would you did you want to try to answer?
What's left?
Well, I guess I'll go for the pop.
Oh, the pop group? Star. Okay, which yes. which one was that?
It's the Jackson 5.
You got
hey,
it.
Jackson 5. Woo-hoo.
Okay, so you've got a choice of the Peppies
yeah,
or
right.
the El Paso Gold DVDs.
You know, I'd really like to try that Peppies.
Yeah, yeah.
You've not been there
it.
Before?
No, I have not, but I've heard you all talk about it. And
oh, it's great.
It's the old Griggs food. Did you ever eat at the Griggs restaurant back in the day?
Yeah, I sure did. Yeah.
Well, these were the managers, and they took the recipes with them. And some of the tables.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff on the walls. But the recipes wow. is worthy.
So and the wonderful personalities and the warm people there. They're so nice. You've got to go. So this is really a great thing that you pick. So you'll enjoy it.
The chips are really
good. Really looking forward to that.
Okay.
The chips are current.
Well,
they're not the old chips.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the coleslaw. We're not going to talk about the coleslaw. All right. James is a winner on three. He gets himself a Peppies. And thanks for playing, dude.
You know, I was going to say that he talked about the Jackson 5. This was the first place that all six brothers performed,
oh,
which was
six,
Randy, yeah. the youngest one, performed here in El Paso. It was the first time all six brothers.
Oh my God!
They felt
performed
comfortable
together.
For some reason.
It was kind of like the Jackson 5 plus.
Yeah, make another space
five
at the table.
Half.
Yeah, well, and a half.
Well,
and
that
half.
Was that all the brothers and sisters, or that they had more?
No, there was more, but this was the time that all six brothers were there.
The ones that could sing, they showed
yeah.
up. Cool. All right, we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about all kinds of stuff because there's a lot more to talk about the Coliseum. And what was the other question that nobody answered? They're not on the line here. To heck with them. Let's
that was
the
what was the other annual event that was held in the Coliseum that features roping skills? Now, how hard is that?
That was
one?
A concert for sure.
Yeah, that was not a concert.
No,
that was the kinky
the
concert.
Rodeo.
Was that Marilyn
rodeo.
Manson? Is
yeah,
that,
see, now you're catching
that
on.
That was Ozzy Osbourne.
And they bring the ropes out for Ozzy.
Bring your own bat.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
This is getting dangerous in here. It's getting deep in here too.
You could go to Facebook though and check us out because I have a picture of our last hour's guest up and her phone number if you wanted to talk about William Beaumont Army Medical Center, and I'll have the Facebook picture of our guests up shortly.
You're going to shoot these people here
I'm
at some point
I'm going to shoot
here.
These people too.
All right, call us up if you need to. Otherwise, Facebook us.
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Ed, get in here and shut the door.
What's up, boss?
What's up? You have to ask, Ed?
Yes, sir. Usually, sir.
Ed, you're naked as a jaybird.
Correctamundo, sir. Just as you ordered.
I what?
You told us Jimmy John's was going all natural, sir.
No, Ed. I told you our meats are now all natural.
Huh?
That's meats, Ed, not employees.
Oh, I get it now. It's our meats that are all natural.
Yes, Ed. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
How embarrassing.
No kidding. It's a good thing I got to you before your first delivery.
Yeah, well, I already spread the word, sir, and...
Naked?
Oh, no.
He's what? Naked?
Naked.
He's naked.
All great automotive sales involve two things. A specific group of vehicles that have to be sold, and a specific time in which those vehicles must be sold. So give me your attention for just a minute, and I'll tell you how you can save a boatload of bucks on a pre-owned vehicle. The Barnett family, the same family that owns Barnett Harley-Davidson, also owns the Rides Auto Group car lot at I-10 and Gateway. Here's the magic trick. We're about to make that car lot disappear. And as the magicians say, first we'll need your assistance. We have to sell 90 cars in 60 days, meaning all reasonable offers will be accepted, and probably a few unreasonable ones too. During this blowout sale, at least half our cars and trucks must go. The rest will magically reappear in another part of town. More on that later. What you need to know is this. If you want a ridiculous deal on a pre-owned car or truck, you need to get down to our Rides Gateway East location just off I-10, or give us a call at 915-629-7433. The blowout sale at the Rides Auto Group. Hurry, because as the magicians say, now you see them, now you don't.
Hi, this is Jack from Banyan Hill. You might have heard about that $34.6 billion that's expected to be doled out in what we call freedom checks. Huge checks that are changing people's lives from coast to coast. People like Sean from Pittsburgh. In fact, he's on the phone right now. Sean, you there?
Yes, I am, Jack.
Sean, let me ask you, how do you like getting these massive checks in your mailbox every month?
Well, Jack, we used to put stuff on credit cards living paycheck to paycheck. But now, after we started collecting a specific kind of freedom check, I have to say, life's a lot more fun.
I bet it is. In fact, getting massive freedom checks is fun no matter who you are. And with $34.6 billion expected to be paid out in private, non-government money starting as early as May 1st, now's the time to stake your claim on some cash. To get all the details, go to www.freedomchecksradio.com before the May 1st deadline. That's www.freedomchecksradio.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory?
In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have a caller on hold. We got a studio full of people talking about the Coliseum and the Sports Commission. And we've also got what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Sure we do. Thank you.
Be prepared.
No glasses. Okay, there we go.
And give me that back when you're done
with it. I know. Why Mexico's presidential frontrunner is running the borderland as a launch pad for his campaign.
And also go inside the world of cosplay as El Pasoans ready for El Paso Comic-Con.
El Pasoans Fighting Hunger has won a big contract to deliver free meals to 180,000 kids in El Paso and West Texas.
Yeah, piece of paper.
I know.
El Paso's premier business journal is El Paso Inc., available for home and business delivery. What's the phone number?
It is 534-4422.
To subscribe. All right. Also, this week, Sunday on ABC7, the city's new nanatorium. The city of El Paso is celebrating the grand opening of the Westside Nanatorium. 2 days of activities. It kicks off today. And a big ceremony, swimming sanction competition. The guests on News Extra, Tracy Novak, Parks and Rec Director, Wright Stanton III, Rec Program Manager. And that is when?
The program is live and interactive. You can send in your comments or questions via email, Facebook, or Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts that's ABC7 Extra, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on ABC7.
You got your own piece of paper, didn't you?
I finally found it.
All
my papers fell over.
We're not supposed to talk
up
about that when we're not. Yeah, whatever. We got these guys with the Coliseum in here. I bet this guy has a story about the Coliseum. His name is Bob. Bob, you're on the radio. Good morning.
How you doing?
Surviving, hey, dude. What's up?
I worked at the Coliseum when I was the summer when I was a freshman in high school, we worked all over town, but one of the jobs was decorating the girders for the events.
Yeah,
and those were like 60 feet high or something. I worked with two men that used to walk those things, and I would sit down and scoot like a half foot at a time. It was scary.
My fingers are getting sweaty thinking about this. And
we would tie the flags on the girders, and then the next day you have to go back, or that night, and take them down. It was a scary job, I tell you.
Well, at least you kept them all dusted off by scooting around up in there, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
What year was that?
That was about 1948.
So it goes, huh? Well, thanks for sharing that, Bob. We appreciate it. You take lunch at Pepe's today, by the way.
Question for you.
Okay.
Who knocked the county judge down at the Sun Carnival Association supper at the Coliseum?
I give up. Who?
Pooley, the editor of the Herald Post.
Pooley.
And his daughter, you know, who I went to school with, just died a couple of weeks ago. Really hated to see that. But the county judge came up to Pooley, who was editor of the Herald Post, and said, what are you going to start telling the truth about me? And Pooley was a little man, but feisted. He jumped up and knocked the judge down.
Oh, interesting.
And we were sitting at the next table with his daughter. And then they pulled Pooley off of him. And the judge got up and started to walk away. And Pooley got away and went back and knocked him down again.
Round two. Right, Bob, thank you for sharing, dude. Maybe we'll see you at Pepe's. You take her easy.
Take care, Bob.
Easy, goodness. Well, I wasn't ready for that one. Brian Kennedy, can you top that story, Brian Kennedy?
No, we don't do that anymore.
We don't do – you do fights maybe, but not in the stands.
We do because I'll sell tickets for it now.
So yeah.
I was just going to say.
Let's have a rematch between the county judge and whoever.
If they want to do it again, I'm good with that. I mean, ticket prices have gotten a little more pricey. I mean, I was looking at the old – when Elvis first got here, it was $1.75 in advance. $1.50 in advance. $1.75 at the door. So, you know, it was pretty expensive those days.
The days are over for that kind of stuff.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, do you check? There's an issue, I know, with taxes on tickets and such now.
Mm-hmm.
In city. How does that work?
With fees and things like that?
Yeah.
Some of the fees go to the promoter. Some of the fees go to Ticketmaster, which is the ticketing agency.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the 8.25 normally that goes to the state.
Oh, okay.
But promoters can put fees on tickets themselves, so there are fees.
Oh, okay. Because I know they talked about something with the downtown, that there was going to be an extra fee that versus UTEP or something.
The difference is UTEP is a not-for-profit, and they are actually the presenter of their shows. So if a show is going to UTEP, they don't pay the 8.25 tax on it.
So
there's no tax on it. So and that money, and normally it comes off the ticket price. If it's a $50 ticket, 8.25 of that the promoter has to pay to the state. If it goes to UTEP, they don't pay the 8.25, and the promoter gets to keep that in their pocket.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if there's, you know, the numbers are easy. If it's $1 million show, it's $82,000 worth of taxes. If you went to a new place, if you go to the Don Haskins Center, they put that $82,500 and they put it in their pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting economics there. We got another caller. Stirred him up. Raul, got you on the radio. Good morning, Raul.
Good morning, Jackson. How you do?
Surviving nicely, dude. What's up in your world?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. But let me say, first of all, that you guys got a great show. I love your show.
Thank you.
Number two, I attended many concerts at the Coliseum. Had a lot of fun there over the years. The first being the Animals Sky Pilot Tour.
Oh,
yes. And I think it was in 1967, 68.
Eric Burden.
Oh, yeah, one of my favorite groups of all time.
That's the first time I ever saw anybody project on smoke. They had a whole bunch of smoke show up, and then all of a sudden there was pictures in the smoke. I'm thinking, ooh, this is spooky.
Sky Pilot.
Actually, you were close. It was April 11th of 68.
Oh, okay, wow. Had a target.
Yeah.
Hey, guys,
you know
one thing that just drives me mad about our leadership in this community and the way they spend our dollars is that we still don't have, and I didn't invent this idea. I remember Sheldon Hall worked on it for many years or talked about it. Leon Metz is an old Mexico, old West town. You know, they're destroying Durangito. Why not put it there? Preferably put it over here on my side of town, northeast, next to Cohen Stadium, where people could see the beautiful mountains.
A lot of gunfights over there.
Yeah. To do there.
Uh-huh.
And now I know they have a plan to develop there, but it's not an old Mexico, old West town. And celebrate our history and celebrate the communities that surround us and the things that are to do nearby, not only in El Paso and Juarez, but as you guys know, the Sacramento Mountains, the Guadalupe Mountains, the Gila, Roswell. We could go on and on. As you guys have said over and over, we're so rich in history, but our community leaders don't want to put their money there. I guess they want ballparks and arenas and not celebrating our region, our history, our mountains, our culture. It drives me mad.
Raul, that story is still being written. Let's see what happens. That would be a great idea as far as I'm concerned. Put an old town downtown. Bernie, your thoughts?
Absolutely.
Let's see what Bernie thinks about this. Raul, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raul.
I think Raul's a shill.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's our shill. We love him.
We love Raul.
But the point
Keep Raul around.
I mean, you got these venues going on here. How would a downtown arena that it was originally proposed and envisioned but never correctly balloted?
Correct.
How was that? That whole idea was going to be an indoor. What was that going to be, Bernie?
The interesting thing is when they went, like you said, never correctly balloted. The idea that originally was thrown out there was to create an arena, but then it was the ballot was edited, so to speak, so that the arena was taken off the ballot so people wouldn't be voting for an arena.
That was a sleight of hand.
We think so.
Yeah.
My personal thinking, and most people that are looking at this the way this was presented to the public, they didn't want to say an arena three blocks away from a baseball stadium, because why would somebody want to vote for two sports venues so close to each other? And why would somebody want to vote for a second sporting venue that would create a competition for the Coliseum and for UTEP's facility? And, you know, Brian brought up an interesting point. You've got a facility at UTEP that doesn't charge the
sales tax.
The sales tax, the hotel motel hot money. So that's
free cheaper to go there.
To go there. Plus, we have a great venue at the Coliseum. It's historical, 75 years old, and it's a great venue. And it's a starting point. I refer to it as the bell curve of performance, at the beginning and the end of people's.
That's about right, too.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts on this?
When we talk about, I had somebody ask me, they said, one of the frequent questions is, how much business would you lose if there was a new arena? And my answer is, there's already a 12,000-seat arena in town. Why would I lose any more than I currently lose?
Right.
You can build 50 of them. I don't care.
Yeah.
We are a different lane. We do something different than what they do. My favorite Jim Phillipsism is, a lion ain't an elephant. They're two different things, and we are two different things. We're not a large arena. We are the feeder arena. That's a perfect example. We're both sides of the bell curve. Mm-hmm. When they get big, they go somewhere else. When they're a little smaller, they look for some place to go. If you look at San Antonio, they built the AT&T Center right next door to the Freeman Coliseum. If you look at a picture of the two of them, you can walk from the Freeman Coliseum to the AT&T Center, because they both do different things. If you have to close everything in the world to make a new business go, you have a really poor financial outlook on the new business. Yeah. Whether it's a restaurant or an arena, if it's like, well, we got to close the Coliseum and the Don Haskins Center, or the new arena doesn't work, then I say, well, then you probably shouldn't build it to begin with, because there's not enough business to support it.
There's also a bit of a difference in the kind of clientele that the acts that you put on there. They will draw people from the region. Whereas if you have a sports team, it's like, well, the same guys that came to last week's game are going to come to this week's game or not. And you're remixing local money, basically, when you have an arena of sports. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
And the way our contract is, the Sports Commission has an unusual contract in that we give revenue back to the county. And so when somebody says, well, we give you a couple of million in hotel money and you only give us, $700,000 a year in general fund money, I go, well, for the average taxpayer, that's a positive, because most recipients of hotel tax don't give anything back.
Zero back. Yeah,
it just doesn't happen.
Well, as Sports Commission, what else do you do?
We do a couple of things. First of all, we have given over $10 million back to the county that goes to the general fund, which is the ad valorem taxes, property taxes. And we do sports tourism, that little bowling tournament that was downtown, both of them, the women's and the open.
They took the place over for weeks.
It was great because it wasn't at the Coliseum, but it was great because between the two of them, they generate over $100 million in sports tourism money, which is first-line expenditures, not the multiples. We also did Conference USA basketball tournaments. That was us that put that on over at UTEP. We have a senior softball tournament going on right now out at Sports Park in East El Paso that has 50 teams and has brought teams in from all over the region. So
there's so much you guys are doing, but you are a created entity within the last couple of decades.
Yeah, we're 15 years old, and it started because they realized very few cities and counties run their own facilities because they don't do it well. And so they decided they wanted to go and have a private company do it. The concept we had when we started was, if you give it to a not-for-profit, there's more transparency because our financials are open to everyone. Also, we do full-fledged audits every year and turn it over. And any money that we make goes either to the county or to improve the facilities. It doesn't go to a headquarters off in somewhere else.
Like SMG.
Similar. The $750,000 doesn't go off for profit somewhere. The $750,000 we have left goes back to the county.
Would you like to take over everything in downtown for us?
Wow, no.
Oh, okay. Just thought I'd ask. You never know.
But I'll tell you.
I will say, the Sports Commission at one point offered to take over Ascarity and Sports Park.
Yeah.
And we said, what we'll do is, if you pay the expenses, the management will be free. We'll charge nothing beyond, because we think we're bought and paid for. You know, we're already paid, so we might as well work ourselves as hard as we can.
Oh, my God.
I was with the county and ran the sports park and Coliseum before it got privatized, and I have some experience. I ran Vista Hills Country Club for a couple of years. So we have made some offers to do some other facilities for the county, and you know, we'd love to help however we can.
Can you take over the promotion of El Paso? That would be a nice thing to do.
So, I think you will find
that. On that note, we may need to take a break here and come back in a while here. Look at
should.
Us on Facebook. You got them up there yet?
I'm just about ready to put their lovely faces up.
Otherwise, the number would be
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm Nick Jonas, and I'm here to tell you about Think It Up, a new initiative to activate student-powered, teacher-led learning projects. Students and teachers, how can you spark great learning experiences in your classrooms today? Join us at thinkitup.org.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-700-3515. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-3515. That's 1-800-700-3515. 1-800-700-3515.
How would you like to buy an $80 Napa Cabernet for $30 or a $50 Oregon Pinot Noir for $20? Hi, I'm Cameron Hughes, the founder of Cameron Hughes Wine, and these are just a few of the amazing deals you'll find at chwine.com. I partner with ultra-premium artisanal wineries from around the globe and sell their wines directly to you. Did you know that there are usually three, sometimes four middlemen taking a cut on a high-end bottle of wine? By buying and selling direct, I can usually cut the price by 40 to 80%. I'm not making this up, folks. I've been doing this for 17 years now and can honestly say nobody delivers high-end boutique artisanal wines better than chwine.com. Don't take my word for it. Visit our website today and read the reviews, not just from our customers, but from top wine critics as well. Now, to get you started, we'd like to offer free shipping on a three-bottle order. Just visit chwine.com, use promo code 1212 at checkout. chwine.com, code 1212. We guarantee every bottle of wine we sell, so visit chwine.com today and enter code 1212.
Save our school. After 60 years, Our Lady of the Valley Catholic School may close its doors. Help raise funds for Our Lady of the Valley by attending a benefit and concert this Saturday, April 14th, with Cristina Ostase, beginning at 4 p.m. For tickets, call 240-3510.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, let's get right into this, because there's a discussion going on in here that, Bernie, we're back on the live radio here. Talk about this plan here. We were talking during the break about the difference between the county and the city and how things run for promotion. And Brian Kennedy's sitting here with the Sports Commission, a nonprofit on behalf of the county, returning $750,000 a year. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, we get paid with hotel funds, hotel occupancy tax funds, but the money we return to the general fund. So it's a bit disingenuous. Sometimes people will say, well, we give you a couple of million dollars and you only give us back $700,000. And I said, well, when you look at hotel occupancy tax expenditures, it's not a revenue generator. We are the only person that I've seen in Texas that returns funds exactly to the general fund like this.
Compare this to the city. What happens with SMG at the city?
They retain their revenue. It does go into their programs, and they retain the revenue.
But they're a for-profit company.
They are, and that one of the reasons the county went this way was just so there would be no profit.
How do we get the city to take on this kind of act?
You know, I mean, it's up to each individual governmental entity. The county had... In my opinion, obviously I'm tainted because they use my company. But they had some foresight when they said, no, rather than give you profit that you send off to your headquarters, what we want to do is if there's profit left over, you give it back to us and it goes into the ad valorem and lowers taxes. Or you can spend it on fixing the property that the county already owns. We can't do other projects with that money. I mean, we can't say we're going to go build something or do something else as a sports commission. It has to be sports tourism or improve the Coliseum. You know, we spent $500,000 building the ice rink, and it is county property, but it didn't cost the taxpayers money to build it because we used hotel tax and the revenue that we generated.
So the Sports Commission is a nonprofit, is it?
Yes, we are a 501c3.
So therefore, you can operate differently. Now, what if instead of SMG at the city, we had a nonprofit in there?
You know, with us, our charter is actually an unusual one for a 501c3. We are chartered to relieve the burdens of government.
Ah!
So if it's a government-owned facility, we are allowed to operate that facility for the governmental entity.
And you have 6 employees and they have over 100?
We do have 6 employees. Is all. We have a lot of part-time employees, but when we have a staff meeting, it's pretty much like going to lunch.
Yeah,
you know, well, it sounds to me like the county is running incredibly quite efficiently.
Well, you know, we kind of get shot at, but it's for a lot of other reasons than the efficiency of the building, I guarantee you.
Well, now, also, when you do other special events, like when you have the carnivals and things there, too, mm-hmm. you're also benefiting other businesses that are supplying events for their food vendors and other things. So you're also in the local community there.
We have over 100,000 people a year, or about 100,000, that come through for what we call community events. And I'll give you an example of the toy giveaway that Abundant Living Faith does every year. Or the Christmas program that they do for the Head Start program, we actually charge them $1, and I contribute $1 because we do have to have money exchange hands for a lease. But to me, we were always told we were the community building, and it's our job to have events that help bring people from the community through there. You know, things like that don't have a home unless we reach out to them and do that.
We're gonna have to take up this discussion again sometime because, frankly, we're out of time today. I think this is something that needs to be pursued because the history of El Paso could be promoted so well by someone who cares.
And
at this point, we don't have a lot of people promoting the history who cares.
And there's a lingering discussion, too, about the property that you're on right now. And one of the things that was being discussed was that property being utilized for an arena.
Yeah, which honestly is... you could build it there. There's no parking there. You'd have to basically clear blocks around it, so you have to get rid of the water treatment center or the zoo or the new housing authorities on either side.
We're going to take up another discussion another time, gentlemen and lady. Thank you for coming in. Bernie, we're going to lunch today. Some of us are.
See
you out at Pepe's. Otherwise, ephistory.com for the details on radio show. Melissa, next week?
Next week, and see you at Pepe's.
Everybody, thank you for joining us. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.